Yeah, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 10 first, to verse 25. Hebrews 10, verses 25. We are looking at the writers and the seals being opened. But as we see, the scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? It talks about as we see the day, okay, that day is put in capital letters, that day, the day that God has set, no man knows that day, but that day is there. As the day approaches, comes closer and closer, closer and closer, God says, this will happen. This is a sign that will happen, okay? The ones, the believers who are seeking Christ and Christ alone will start getting together more and more and more and will start encouraging each other. Because you see the day approaching. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do not forsake, he says, but get together and exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's turn to Matthew 24 and verse 42. Then we come to Mark 13. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Okay, so he tells us, watch therefore. One of the first things he tells us is to watch. Okay, and Mark 13 verses 32 to 37. Yeah, Mark 13 verses 32 to 37. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch and pray. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Okay? And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Okay? So, God is saying, see, in each of the Gospels, Jesus, when he talks about the last days, he tells us is to keep watching. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. He gives an example, illustration over there as a rich man who goes for a journey, and he gives each one his task. Each one of us has been called to a task, and he says you should be found faithful in what you have been called within the body of Christ. And to the ones who are supposed to lead the flock, the watchmen, he said, you watch. You, the keeper, commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Okay, the pastors, if you read Ezekiel, are called the doorkeepers who are supposed to blow the trumpet, keeping the people always on their toes. Watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Therefore, watch therefore, for you do not know. You do not know the day, the time, the hour. We do not know. And then when we come to Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36, again, the warning is repeated. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, that's pleasure, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that the day come upon you unexpectedly. Okay? For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now this is what you need to realize. He says, you want to escape. You want to escape this when that day comes. You want to escape. You should be found, counted, you should be counted worthy to escape. Okay, go early to the previous verse. Okay, where it says, but what is the danger in which we are caught? We will be weighed down with carousing, with pleasure. Okay, we will be weighed down with the things of this world. We'll get into that, get too involved with that, with drunkenness. What is drunkenness? It's not talking about drinking wine as such. Drunkenness is when you actually lose control over your senses. Okay, you are drunk by something. It can be pity, it can be worry, it can be anxiety, it can be fear, where you are not, no, focusing on what God is talking about. Instead of allowing the Spirit of God to show us that we are living in a time and the signs, the day is getting closer and closer, and we are slowly but constantly separating ourselves from this world and focusing more and more on the Lord, yet being faithful wherever God has placed us in the world. And it says, and the cares of this life, we get down weighed. This is where we have to be careful as believers. Believers get weighed down by the cares of this life. Do not be weighed down by the cares of this life. That's how, why do we get weighed down by the cares of the life? Is because our spirits are not ready. Our spirits are not strong to handle the cares of life that come upon us. The enemy makes things more and more difficult. But how do you overcome? You overcome because spiritually you are strong. Okay? How are you spiritually strong? Because you have invested in your spirit. You have invested in the Word of God. You have spent time with God. You have walked by faith. And you have been found faithful. Then your spirit becomes strong. Like I keep teaching you from the Old Testament, it is not how many prayers of you were answered. It's not the sign. Because scripture says about the children of Israel who perished in the desert, God gave them what they asked, but He sent leanness into their souls. Okay? We keep on asking things. Be very careful how we ask things of God. Because in Ezekiel 33 or 14, He says, if you come to me with an idol in your heart, I will answer you according to the idolatry in your heart. So sometimes many of our prayers are actually judgment. And in the process, what happens? Spiritually, we get weaker and weaker and weaker. We get more and more weighed down by the cares of the world. And our eyes are not on the signs of His coming. Our eyes, we are not getting prepared. And we are not becoming worthy to be counted to escape all these things. We will see clearly in the Bible. Because these riders, these seals that are being opened, or the seals when they open, will we be ready to handle it? Will we be counted worthy to escape it? If the seals are yet to be opened, if rapture is to be before that, will we be counted worthy to escape it? That's the key. The key is that before a time that, like the world has never known, let me tell you, the world has known terrible times. You look history, it has known terrible times. Yet God says a time is coming in the way world has never known, what terror, what trial, what tribulation is. And He says, I want you to be counted worthy to escape it. So He gives us lots of warnings to read this sign. He says, as in the days of Noah. Meaning, as in the days of Noah, He says, things will look absolutely normal. People are busy thinking about marriage, getting married, getting settled down, buying and selling, and involved with all the things of the world, and judgment came. And nobody was prepared except for eight people. Except for eight people, nobody was prepared. Okay? And that's what God is talking about. Are you ready? Then He gives another thing. He says about Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, He says Sodom and Gomorrah. When you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, you need to realize something of Sodom and Gomorrah has to be replicated in our time. There is an obsession with homosexuality. Okay, now never after Sodom and Gomorrah has the time come when the world is obsessed about homosexuality. Those who are homosexuals and those who are not also are obsessed about giving them the rights to be what they want to be. Okay, so you need, He talks about a sign. Then He told about another sign. He says, remember Lot's wife. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Cryptic signal. Three words. Okay? Remember Lot's wife. He said, remember Lot's wife. Three. Remember Lot's wife. Three things. What did He mean? The last days He said, remember Lot's wife. What is He talking about? Remember Lot's wife. What was special about Lot's wife? What was about? There is a division in a family. There's a division in a family where the flesh in the family will try to pull back the spirit in the family to the land of destruction. In the last days, the most attacked thing in the world today is the institution of the home. Never ever in history has the home been divided like it is today. Never ever has been the home divided. Never ever. So one of the stable things until a few 50 years back was the home was quite stable. But He says in the last days, remember Lot's wife. We're not talking about the woman as such, but He says the house will get divided and the flesh will try to. Okay, she is the one who was looking back. Now you need to realize, Jewish history says Lot's wife was looking back always, not only at the city of Sodom and Gomorrah alone, she was also looking back at the daughters she left behind who were not willing to follow. Only two came, the others didn't come. Okay, meaning there's a division. That's why Jesus said, I will come. I have not come to bring peace, I have come to bring division. I will bring a division through the sword. I will cut the flesh and the spirit, I will divide it. And you need to realize in the last days he said that will happen. And when that happens, what did he say? Father will betray son, son will betray father, husband will betray wife, wife will betray husband. That is where we need to be realized. Ultimately, your family is the believing body of Christ. When tribulation begins, whatever you think about wonderful relationships in the flesh, betrayal will begin. Flesh will betray spirit. It will happen. It has happened in the past. It's going to happen like never before. Because the flesh will take the Antichrist as their master. The spirit will only acknowledge Jesus as master. And the flesh will betray the spirit in your homes. Okay? Now that's Lot's wife. It's still there. Near the city of Zoar. Okay, it's still there. If you visit the Middle East, if you visit Jerusalem, if you visit Israel and the Palestinian territory, they will take you to and tell you that is what they believe is Lot's wife. It's there, right there before eyes. He has not, and says he has not allowed it to be destroyed. It's there. Say, remember Lot's wife. Okay, and that's what God is talking about. So when he's talking about Lot's wife, he's talking about, remember those of us who are Lot's righteous. But Lot came losing everything. He lost everything. So the Corinthians talks, many will come through just escaping through the flames after losing everything. Okay, you may have to go through the flames of judgment. Okay, now that's why God is warning us. And then he talked about these signs. He says, signs, I will gather my people from the ends of the earth. We know it came to pass 1948, May 14, out of 1900 plus years, Israel came back. Then he says, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles is over. That happened. Fullness of the Gentiles was over in 1967. In 1967, during the Six-Day War, after 2600 years, if my number is correct, memory is correct, Jerusalem was back in the hands of the Jews. And still today in the hands of the Jews. Okay? So we are looking about the signs of the times. When you are looking at the signs of the times, we need to be careful. And Jesus said about these signs, he said, when he talked about these signs coming to pass, he said, this generation will not pass away before the end comes. So if we are that generation, we need to be very, very careful, because the enemy will try everything possible to draw us away. Draw us away from this and putting our trust entirely in the Word of God. Let's look at a couple of things so that we can have hope. Will God take his people away? Genesis 5:24 and Hebrews 11:5. Are there pictures in the Bible to show that God takes his people away? And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The first sign of a person being taken away is Enoch. And Hebrews 11:5 will say, why he was taken away? By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For he was taken, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Be careful, that's the key. Okay, what are the key? He was taken away because he had a testimony that he pleased God. And Hebrews 11:6 will tell you, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, remember the subtlety by which the enemy will intervene into this also. Enemy knows the Bible very well. Anybody has any doubts? He knows it by heart. He's got no problem with memory or forgetting. He knows the Bible by heart. He knows Hebrews 11:6. He knows that without faith it is impossible to please God. That by faith, if I please God and I walk closely with him, he will take me away from that great judgment on that day. He knows about you and me that this is true. So what will he try to do? He will try to corrupt Hebrews 11:6 by making you focus on faith and not focusing on Jesus. How that subtlety happens is that today, if you notice all around the world, people gather in hundreds for faith seminars. Basically, what the faith seminars teach you is teach faith as a tool, how to use faith to get things out of God. It is not about learning about faith, how to walk faithfully with God. And they will use all that, which is true. Jesus commended all of them. Great, you say faith, good faith, good faith, good faith, good faith. Everything he showed. But ultimately, what counts is that, did you walk by faith with God? It's not whether you used faith. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will walk by faith. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, my righteous shall walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is for walking. Faith is for walking. It is not about using faith to get things. You can use faith and get everything in your life answered without actually walking by faith with God. Okay. Why? What is faith basically talking about? Faith is basically, what does God talk about here? Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So faith is basically of overcoming sin in your life. In the process, things happen. But we do not separate faith from walk faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness should go hand in hand. So Enoch walked with God. So it doesn't say Enoch was a great man of faith. Doesn't say. He didn't do any exploits using faith. Doesn't say anything about Enoch. The only thing it says he walked with God and God took him. Because he had a testimony that pleased God. Nothing is talked about his life. We do not know anything about Enoch. What exploits he did, we have no idea. Yet he walked with God. So God is talking about, remember, the danger into which, because the enemy knows and he will use to very subtly infiltrate the church by taking our eyes off Christ and keeping our eyes focused on the things of God and not on God. Okay, instead of the face of God, our eyes will drop down to the hands of God. Be careful. And then Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 to 12. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. Another example in the Bible. Okay? And so it was when they had crossed the river, Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And then it happened as they continued on and talked. Suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Okay. Now there's something he says, Elijah is another person who was taken up. Okay, so there are people there in the Bible where it talks who were taken up. Okay, but when was he taken up? He was taken up after he had crossed the river. You need to cross the river of Jordan. It's a river of death. Okay, so it's not that you do not fail, but its response is after you fail, what's your response? Are you getting up and walking even more closer with God? So Elijah walked closer with God, prepared Elisha, and Elisha saw rapture happening. Okay, there. And then Acts chapter 8, verses 39 and 40. Types of rapture in the Bible, that's what we are looking at. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Okay? Now you see another type of rapture taking place. He's in the desert, the Ethiopian eunuch was going in the chariot, he's there, he gives him the gospel, believes, baptizes, and then the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Plucks him and puts him in another place. So there are types in the Bible of God taking his people and putting them in another place wherever he wants to. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 54. Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 54. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Okay, now get this very clear. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So in our walk with God, you need to see that constantly the flesh in us is dying. Because flesh will not inherit, only spirit will. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me, because it's on the cross the flesh dies. And when the flesh dies, it will inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be... Pardon? Yeah. Okay, immortality, not immorality. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Death is swallowed up in victory. Okay. Are you getting it? Okay. In the twinkling of an eye, it says it will take place. Okay. Again. Revelation 12, verse 5. Revelation 12, verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Okay? Was caught up to the throne and raptured. Over. That's where we use these terms. Okay? And then we get another sneak preview from Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 2 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 2 to 4. Now I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. He says, I know about a man 14 years ago who was caught up to the third heaven. Okay? So Paul had a sneak preview of heaven and a sneak experience of rapture. So it's all there. Okay? So it could be there. Where it is going to happen, we do not know. And then Luke chapter 17, verses 26 onwards. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it's talk about life will look very normal, the way we are used to it. It's not going to be, except for the ones who are watching and praying. Except for those who are watching for the Lord's coming on a day-to-day basis, everything will look normal. If there is trouble, you will think it is trouble. Nobody will be expecting His coming. I'm telling you, even the church will not be expecting His coming. And then, come further. In that day, who is on that housetop and his good Sarah? He said, likewise, the one, let him turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Okay? Remember Lot's wife. Come further. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. Who loses his life will save. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed, and one will be taken and the other will be left. And then, two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and left, the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. It's talking about three time zones. One place it will be night, one will be grinding into the corn is in the afternoon. Sleeping is at night. Okay, and what is the third one? Working is in the morning. Now you tell me, 2000 years ago, which scientist knew about three time zones in which we exist? Anybody know? Nobody knew. Nobody knew there were three time zones. But the Bible talks about three time zones 2000 years ago. Jesus, you will be caught in any time zone. It's irrelevant. But the ones who are watching and waiting, even you are watching and sleeping, you will be taken. You are watching and working, you will be taken. If you have been watching for that day, He says, you will be taken. The others will not know what has happened. Okay. You need to understand, people contradict the Bible, say it's not scientific analog. Science is still growing. And it will reach the level where God's word is true. Okay, it's still growing. That's the problem. The problem is that we look at the Bible through eyes of science. You should look at the science through the eyes of the Bible. Because this is truth and these are facts. And facts are slowly catching up. They haven't reached. That's why scientific laws keep on changing. Okay. So God says, if you want to escape all these things, watch and pray. What do we need to do? Watch and pray. So let's look at a few signs today. I got half an hour. to look at a few signs which is interesting. Now the things which I want to teach today is not mine at all. Not mine at all. These are interesting people who are working seriously. So therefore when I teach you this, I am not saying this is the truth. I do not know. My job on Wednesdays is to give you information which looks very relevant to our times, very relevant to our times, and say, weigh it in the spirit, test it, and if it is true, like God told the children of Israel in Egypt, gird your loins and tuck your cloak and be ready, because things are happening before our eyes. So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 1. There are types in the Bible, always types in the Bible, because Exodus is again a book where God takes His people out. Okay, He takes. Egypt is always symbolic of the world. And in Exodus, He is taking people out of Egypt. Okay, now what happens is, if you come to Exodus, chapter 1, you will see verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Watch over there, okay? Meaning, symbolically saying, when the day of the end comes, there will be leaders rising up all around the world, which is Egypt, who do not accept Joseph. Who will make life difficult for God's children over what we believe. Okay, over what we believe. So, yeah, can we come back to that? You need to realize it is God who allows the Pharaoh to come. Why does God allow this Pharaoh to come? Why does God allow this Pharaoh to come? Now you need to realize, you need to look at history. Now I heard this, that this is the way it happens. They said, we are looking about reception, war, famine, death, following in a row. Most wars have been fought over money. Most wars, or all wars, are fought over money. Whenever a nation borrows from another nation, okay, Babylon borrows from Egypt, and then now they have to pay the debt, and they don't have the money. So what they do, they raise their army and conquer Egypt. Now Greece has borrowed money from the Assyrians, the Babylonians. So what does Alexander do? He inherits the kingdom where there is no money. So he raises an army and conquers them and takes their gold. Now Greece has borrowed money from Rome. Rome has borrowed money from Greece. So what do you do? You have no money, you raise an army and take over Greece. This is how wars have always, debt is created and wars are followed over that. And then the Romans don't have money, and they know one place on earth where there is plenty of money. So in 70 AD they come and loot the temple. Temple is full of gold. Okay. There are different reasons, but one of the primary reasons behind war is always wealth. You know, all the conquerors who went after wealth, over money. So you need to realize over this. So we need to realize we are living in a time when there is a crisis over money. There will be a crisis over money generated so that these leaders can come into the picture. Why does God allow it? God allows it. Come to verse 7. Now the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is the problem. When prosperity comes to God's children, they fill the land. Now it's not talking they were full in Goshen. Goshen was where they were supposed to be. Goshen is a place of separation from Egypt. But when they grew rich and prosperous and multiplied, they filled the whole land of Egypt. When you fill the whole land of Egypt, what happens? You start partaking the things of Egypt. And then you don't want to leave Egypt. Can you imagine in any time of the good times of the good pharaohs who were ruling Egypt, if Moses had come there, they wouldn't have left. They wouldn't want to leave. Why should we leave? You got everything, your fertile land, houses, cattle, flocks, money, clothes. What are you talking about? Promised land. We don't want to leave. You know why people don't want, they're not waiting for rapture? Because they're happy in the world. God's people are happy in the world, therefore God's people are not watching on God's time clock. So what does he do? He creates a situation where you will long to get out of Egypt. Therefore he will raise up a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph and will make trouble for the descendants of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph is a type of a Christ who married a Gentile bride. Okay, remember Joseph is sex. So what is happening today? God is allowing Pharaohs to arise around the world who do not believe what we believe. And they start tightening. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about disciples. They do not. Disciples are the ones who, like Sunday we talked about, it's a difference between Christians and disciples. Disciples will grieve in their heart about all these things. When these moral laws are changed, they will start fidgeting. Christians aren't bothered. It's okay, so what if homosexuality becomes a law? How does it bother me? It will bother you when your child becomes one. Because he became one, because it became the norm in the world, and nobody was there to tell him it was wrong. Okay. That's the problem. That's where we are looking at. When these things start changing, and you run into debt, you run into financial problem, you see long lines waiting for jobs, and all these things happening, that is when trouble will come. And you need to realize they know the power of the believers. They know the power. See, because behind them are powers. These are not men. Behind them are powers. Okay, and what happens? Come down. Now arose a new king. And he said to, And he said to his people, look, he said to his people. He did not say to the whole people. He said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than me. Come, let us deal shrewdly. You know where that word appears first in the Bible? It talks about Satan being very shrewd. The serpent was very shrewd. Cunning, crafty, shrewd. Okay, the rulers of this world are very shrewd. They said, we need to deal with them shrewdly. You think this happened in one day? This took years for it to happen. A whole lot of things are happening over there. It didn't happen overnight or weeks or months. Years things is happening. He says, let us deal with them shrewdly, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against. And so go up out of the land. Okay. The whole idea is that he says, if these people shouldn't leave. Because if they leave, they take the wealth with them. They take the knowledge with them. They take everything with them. And we want them. Yet, we need to be very careful how we deal with them. So what did he do? Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. So they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Now something is happening over there. How did they afflict them? Taskmasters, basically it's talking. They increased the burden over them. How do you increase burden over the people? By raising the taxes. Increase the burden over the people, usually by raising the taxes. Down to Solomon's time, down till today, we know what taxes keep on going up and going up and going up and going up to afflict the people. Why? The more you raise the tax, the more people will depend upon the government. The more you depend upon the government, the more does the government have control over you. That is the ultimate idea of the ruler. They want to enter into every area of your life and have control. And the only way they can do is by making you more dependent upon them. Yet our God says, you be dependent only upon them, never stretch your hands towards the government. You obey the government, do what they tell you, but your hand should be stretched only towards me. But what does the enemy do? The enemy, by bringing in a very subtle lie called more and more and build more and buy more and more and more and more. We ate into this gospel called the prosperity gospel, and they are running into debt now. And they are running into debt, and they are looking for handouts from the government in the Western countries. And the enemy, the government says, in America the government is saying, you want us to bail out? Okay, you have to agree to our demands. They have conditions. They will set forth conditions. If I am a pastor, I need help from the government will say, okay, these are the things you can preach and the things you cannot preach. It has happened in history, it will happen again in history, when you buy into this life. Okay. And this is basically what happens over there. You see what's happening over there? They start, nations start borrowing, people start borrowing, and they start building. What did they start building? For supply cities. Now you tell me, supply cities, treasuries, what are they bailing out all around the world today? Banks.
Banks, did you know that?
The government
in free countries are buying up the banks, the supply cities,
using whose money?
The people's money.
You don't get it?
That's exactly what they did. They used the money of the Israelites and built supply cities for the Pharaoh. They used the money of the people and bought up the banks. You need to realize, in free nations, government control is supposed to be the least, so that people are allowed to flourish. These are ideologies that is working against one against another. So did you look at the last list? 100 banks have failed till this week in America. And what happens? All these banks are failing, and other banks, the government is buying more and more stake into them, so that all your debt will be in the hands of the government. In the hands of the government. This is basically what will happen. That's when governments take over. When in 1970 or 71, the government of India nationalized all the banks, all the debts became in the hands of the government. Okay, you need to realize, if ICICI Bank collapses tomorrow, who takes over? The government takes over. Suddenly you will see that you are in the hands of the government. Okay? You are in the hands of the government. ICICI Bank can only send collection people to your doorstep. The government can put you in Chellapalli prison if you don't do what they tell you to do. You need to realize how this is how systems work. That's why God tells his people, owe no man anything. Owe no man anything. That's why you get offended when I tell you, get out of debt. Because when these things happen, God's people should be absolutely, totally debt-free. And you should seek wisdom as to, Lord, how will I go through these periods that are coming? I'm looking unto you, Lord, on a day-to-day basis, and I'm walking a walk of faith where I'm experiencing your hand over my life. I'm not dependent upon the system in which I live. I'm dependent on a system that is from above. This is where we have to grow. God says, if you watch and pray, if you watch carefully, and you're not caught up in that, and you found yourself worthy, then you will escape all these things. But if you're not, you will be caught in this trap. So there you are. And so, what happened? They are now filling the land. What are they called now? They are no longer in Goshen, they are in the world. Do you know who came out of Egypt when God called them out? A mixed multitude came out. Do you know that? A mixed multitude is the ones who are married in with Egypt. And isn't they who created trouble all the time? In every church in the world, who are the ones who create trouble? The ones who are the mixed multitude. Flesh and spirit. The spirit never creates trouble. The spirit is always asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You tell me what to do, Lord. The flesh is the one who rebels. The mixed multitude was always the one which created trouble whenever the Israelites moved. It started with them and then everybody took over the cry. Wherever you look, they are called mixed multitude, they are also called rabble. They call the rabble. How did it happen? It happened. It was allowed. God is allowing things. Okay? So, Israel was prosperous. Remember, Israel was prosperous. Why? Because during the days of Joseph, Egyptians went through that famine. Goshen wasn't touched. If you know your history well, Goshen wasn't touched. Egyptians went through famine, and all of Egyptians' property belonged to the Pharaoh. Now, the new Pharaoh who has come in the last days of Egypt is reversing by buying up Israel. Buying up Israel. Okay? Buying up Israel. And there something is happening. And when Moses came, you need to realize, to Egypt, spoke to the Israelites, they were mad with Moses. Do you know they were mad with Moses? They were not mad with the Pharaoh. They were afraid of the Pharaoh. They were mad with Moses. And now you know what? I understand in the Hebrew word, Pharaoh means, there are two or three symbols in the Pharaoh's name in Hebrew. It means an extremely authoritarian, charismatic, extremely crowd-pulling person, yet inwardly a man with evil intent. That's what Pharaoh means. Outwardly, he's an extremely powerful, convincing. He talks to crowds and he will convince people. Inwardly, his intents are always evil. That's why he says, let us deal with them shrewdly, very shrewdly. So probably he started by appealing to the Israelites, the Jews, and they all fell for the trap. No, it's a different issue. Okay, we'll come to that. I'll go offline. Okay, now let's see. What is that he says? Go to verse 7, 8 again. Yeah,
come further down. What is the issue that he makes? He said to his people, look, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we let us. What is the issue? He says, the children of Israel are a security risk. A security risk. A threat to national security. I'm telling you, it's already coming to pass in many, many nations where they are already targeting Christians by saying they are a security risk. They are passing laws saying that these people are risky. Their loyalty is not to the nation. Loyalty is not to the rule, to the government, or to the nation. Their loyalty is to something else and somebody else. They are a risk. There is a bill pending right now before the American Congress which could be passed any time. Once if it is passed, then it becomes a hate crime bill. If you speak against homosexuality, you can be arrested. They are bringing in all these laws where you do not go against them. Nations, many other Western nations have already passed it. Our country, the courts have taken them. Issues, these are issues that will, where a believer will have to take a stand. Okay? And then let's look. What did they do next? They killed their children, the male. They killed their babies. Did they kill their babies? Yeah? They killed their... Oh, hello, you know your history, Exodus. What did the Pharaoh, after a season, once he stabilized and he's got Israel under bondage, once he gets him into bondage, what is the next thing he says? Kill their babies, boys. Kill their babies, we don't want them to be a threat. Now we need to realize, these are all types. And prophetically, history keeps on repeating itself. When the history account begins in the Bible, the most powerful nation on earth was Egypt. Nation, it begins with the land of Egypt. A nation, the powerful nation on earth is Egypt. When you're talking about nations, the most first nation to which we are introduced, powerful one, is Egypt. Then comes the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans, and all down today. And there is this cycle. And God said, 400 years shall be your day in the land of Egypt. And then he created trouble for them. He allowed the Pharaoh to oppress them until they cried out and said, take us out of this place. So, God is going to turn up the heat till his people start getting ready to leave Egypt. Because right now we are very comfortable with Egypt. Nobody wants to leave. Nobody wants to leave. Everybody is fully happy and into Egypt. Now the problem is when you leave, be careful. You don't leave like the children of Israel carrying Egypt with you. Okay? You need to realize, numbers wise, if you look, the ones who actually made it are very few. That's why we need to be very, very careful. Now in this 400 years cycle, now this is something very interesting, something which has come. Now you look, you always have to, if you knew what was happening in Egypt at that time, in the rest of the world at that time, look at Egypt. Because what happens in Egypt is a reflection of what is happening in history around the world. So today you have to look at Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth. And a powerful nation in America, on because if, like they say, if America catches cold, the rest of the world catches fever. Now, why is it that everybody is in recession? Because America went into recession. Because America went into recession, the rest of the world, we did not go into recession on our own. No country went into recession on their own. We all the world went into recession because America went into recession. Why? Because that's Egypt, the most powerful nation. And there is the 400 year cycle in that nation's history. America came into being as a nation in around 1607, 1608, 2008, 400 year cycle is gone. And when 400 year cycle is gone, if you read Exodus 1, it says, there will arise a Pharaoh who does not accept Joseph. Bring it. There will arise a Pharaoh, a ruler, who will not accept Joseph. You can accept, say, oh, okay, Joseph, great with your mouth. But basically you have to look at the fruit. What is that you actually really believe? So there is a Pharaoh that is rising who doesn't know Joseph. Okay? Okay? Look at it. Now, you need to realize in the synagogues around the world, every synagogue in the world reads the same portion every Friday. Same portion. Every synagogue in the world will read the same portion. It's not different. Okay? 20th of January this year, all around the world, 20th of January, if I'm right, that's the day. all around the world, the portion that was read by the Jews all around the world was Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, 9 and 10. And there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it appear in the event of war, they also join our enemies and fight against us. So go up out of the land." There's a portion that was read. And one of the first bills that was signed as soon as he took office was reversing the abortion policy of the past 8 years. Children can be killed again. And he went a step beyond by funding projects all around the world where abortions can take place. When a new pharaoh came into being in Egypt, first, he said, "Let's target the believing ones." You are not watching the news. The believing channels are under attack. Till last week, there was a big ruckus. And no president, no White House has ever done something like saying, "Take Fox News out. We will not invite you for anything." Why? Because they speak, many of those anchors, all of them, they are slightly cranky also, but lots of believers are there. And they speak the conservative voice. And they said, "We will not call you for the White House press conferences." Can you imagine any White House ever doing that? And last week when they were to cover a report, they said, "Everybody can come, but not Fox News." And all the others got together and said, "No, if Fox is not, we are not." Then the White House buckled and allowed them to come. And they got together. He said to his people, "Let us deal with them shrewdly." So you know what? You have a whole set of people who are called the president's SARS. And they are dealing with every voice of opposition in the public space who speaks against them. Everybody is running into trouble. And we are talking about a free democracy. And a free press, the most free press in the world, is being targeted for the very first time in ways that has never happened before, because we are looking at the signs of the end. And what is the Pharaoh? The Pharaoh is an extremely, what does Pharaoh mean in Hebrew? Charismatic person, speaks very well, talks, draws crowds, takes the adulation of the people, but the intent of his heart is always evil. And you know a man by his fruit. What are the bills he's signing into place? What are the bills that... And what is he doing? He's appointing taskmasters. So everybody in US is scared because they are waiting for the taxes to go up. And already promising, taxes are going to go up. Because you're already 1 trillion in debt, more than that. Okay, watch out. Okay, and what is he doing? The government is doing something. They are moving into every area of the life. You need to realize America as a nation is a very independent nation. The people do not like the government interfering. So what is this? You people probably do not realize. What is this hangama about Medicare? You don't understand what is happening over there. Such a ruckus over to pass that bill. The pass is the bill, so the government will start selling life insurance. Sorry, medical insurance. And they don't want that. The reason is that the government starts taking over everything. The government starts controlling your hospital. Government start controlling every area. The banks are there taking over. Corporations are buying, taking money from government. The government will tell the corporations what you can do. Many of the big motor companies, the largest employers in US, all have taken money from the government. They are slowly taking over. And it is being replicated all around the world. Most European countries already went that way, but other countries are also slow. If you didn't read today's paper, you will see that today, the next session of the parliament, the government will pass the bill to allow private companies into insurance sector to up to 49%. That will be probably the death of LIC. It's a reverse thing that is happening. Okay, all kinds of things are happening. We need to realize why government is doing things here by trapping the people in. Because a day is coming when authoritative rulers are going to manifest themselves and you will have to listen to them. And then, the president of America initially told that he is going to go to Indonesia and address the Muslim world. You are not listening to his speeches carefully. Everywhere he has gone out, he has bashed America and lifted up the Muslim world. He has bashed America, literally gone outside America and bashed his own people. He said he's going to Indonesia. But did he go to Indonesia? No. Where did he go? Where did he address the Muslim world from? from Cairo, Egypt. He went to Egypt and he addressed the Muslim world. Now show me the two pictures. When he went to Egypt, how he was addressed and how he was shown in the media in Egypt. This is absolutely available on networks. He was introduced to the Arab world as King Tut, the Pharaoh of Egypt. No, it isn't. It's there in the videos, every new network, t-shirts, everything available in this thing. Yeah. That is how he was introduced. And remember, King Tut was a young king. The Arab world introduced him as the Pharaoh. King Tut. Tutankhamun, whatever his name was. Okay? We need to be careful. I'm not saying anything. What I'm saying that we keep our eyes open at the signs. I do not know. But the signs and the types that is there in the Bible, and you see these things happening, you need to be very careful, because we don't know who he is. Okay? We do not know who he is, because we get very, very comfortable. And when you comfort to comfortable, what happened? Israel, what do you do? He says, Israel, you always ran. Let's turn to another portion in the book of Ezekiel, where God meets the children of Israel. And he tells them. Ezekiel 20. Okay, Ezekiel 20, verse 6 and 6, 7 and 8. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt, to a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. So God has said, I want to take you out of this Egypt and take you to a land, a kind of a land which you never want. But what happened? Each of you throw away the abominations which are before his eyes and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. So what is he telling us? Throw away all the things of the world. Do not get entangled with the things of this world, because I got a plan for you. Okay? And then, I am the Lord your God, but they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which are before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the... Read that last line. In the midst of the land of Egypt. So that is why he allowed the Pharaoh to rise. So they went into trouble, so that they would throw the idols of Egypt which was there in their midst. Just not later. It when they were prosperous, they had eaten into Egypt, and God was speaking to the children of Israel. It's not there in Exodus or Genesis. We see it in Ezekiel. They said, we will not leave. We don't want to leave Egypt. We like Egypt. So he poured out his fury upon them, and then they were ready to leave Egypt. And then, verse... But I acted for my namesake, that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. They brought the idols along. They did not offer God any sacrifices in the desert. One of the minor prophets talks about that. Okay, but there were people who offered, like Moses and Joshua and Caleb, worshipped and followed God through it all. Okay. So we see history repeating itself. God is telling his believers all around the world, and very, very Christian nations, he's telling, come out of the system. Come out of system. Do not run back into the system. Do not run back into the system. But what is happening? The whole world is looking to whom to rescue us. Looking to America to bail the whole world out. They're all watching America. Every stock market is looking at what is happening to Dow Jones and Nasdaq. They're all waiting to what's a Federal Reserve going to do, what is Obama's next policy based on. They're waiting for Obama to, basically the administration, him, to bail them out, isn't it? They're not looking unto God. Even Christians are not looking unto God. Even Christians in America are waiting for the government to bail them out, am I right? They are looking to Obama to bail them out. Their eyes are not lifted unto God. And then you come further down. You will see what happens when you do that. When you do that, you come to Ezekiel 20, verse 27. Verse 26 onwards. And I pronounced them unclean because of the ritual gifts, in that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, that they might know that I am the Lord. Remember this. He says, you are putting your children through the fire. You are allowing, okay? You need to realize 50 million babies have been killed in America after Roe versus the state became law. 50 million babies at least have been killed. And now it has increased because a new law has been partial, meaning even down to your final term you can abort your baby. He says, therefore son, okay, come this thing. Therefore son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord, in this too your fathers have blasphemed by being unfaithful to me. When I brought them into the land concerning which I raised my hand in an oath to give them, they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees, they offer their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. Stop there, okay, don't go, scroll. There they also sent up the sweet aroma and poured out their drink offerings. Instead of running to God, what happened? They were running always to the high places for help. Okay, usual human tendency, running to the government, to high places. And then, verse 29. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. The only place in the Bible, in Hebrew, it is Abama. And it's talking prophetically about the last days, Ezekiel 20. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying anything over here. Probably he'll take me off the airwaves if he hears this. But there are preachers in America who are standing up right now and telling, watch, 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 don't go by the color of your skin or any of those things. Be careful, be careful. You're all running to the high place. Be careful, don't buy into this lie. He may say whatever you want to say, he's a Christian, but watch his fruits. Every action that he has taken has been against this. Against this. Everything that he has been doing has been against this. Okay. And all the world, you know, mothers and fathers in India, how many parents in India, one of the most best-selling books in India, which parents buy and give their children, is The Audacity of Hope. It's The Audacity of Hope. Everybody is buying and giving it to their children. Learn, learn, learn. Look at him, learn, look at him, learn, look at him, learn. Be careful. Be careful. All around people are downloading his messages and listening to his messages. Some people are listening to my messages. Like a few people. But everybody is listening to him. They are cutting off everything and listening to his message. His worship. His worship. You need to realize his worship literally. In a way, adulation has never happened in American history. Never has the president received worship the way he is receiving worship. Okay? But is he the man? I don't know. But is he a precursor for things and events to happen? Could be. Because he is changing the landscape of the actually the only free nation on earth, which has stood there for liberty and freedom of mankind. One nation that stood, he's changing the landscape. And it could soon move and become a socialist kind of a place like the rest of Europe. And then, things are set in place. Okay. Who are the ones who are always attacked over there? The ones who are being attacked are all the believers. So they say, no, abortion is wrong. They say, this is wrong. Immediately they are being targeted. They are being slowly targeted. And what did the Pharaoh do? How did the Pharaoh know that the children of Israel had filled the land? How did he know? He went to every city and town? No, he probably did a census. Do you know that? He did a census. That's how the Pharaoh know. Otherwise you can't know. You're talking about 5,000-6,000 years ago. Do you know what the latest controversy? The White House is going to oversee the next census, which hasn't happened in American history. Directly under the White House, he said the next census. 2010, if I'm right, the next census in America. He says, we are going to do the census. It's not going to be under that department. They report directly to the White House. And they are protesting about that. Do you know in nursery schools and primary, many schools in America, they have composed and sing songs about Obama? Do that. Do you know that when this motorcade goes by, what the people say? They say the Messiah is coming. Problem is that people can say anything, but the man should say, I am not any of that. I back off. Because Paul and all of them were worshipped and they backed off. Okay. Now we need to be very careful. We are living in a time where he is the most popular leader in the world. Never has a man been so popular in every corner, even in China or India or anywhere. He is the most popular person on the world. And there is an entire section of population in this world which are very hostile to the West, like him, because they think he is one of them. That's why we do not know. We don't know. We are not saying anything. We are only saying that keep your eyes open, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Lord, where are we caught? What are we buying into? Gather together, keep studying the word, keep reading the word, get into churches where you have the word preached and not money preached. Discipline is preached. Feel very good if you go to those places. You will feel very good. No, Pastor John, how do they begin? How many of you want to be a millionaire by next year? They will have all those seminars. They call it faith seminar. They are basically money seminars. But the problem is that you know how we get caught into that, because the flesh likes all those things. Flesh likes all those things. A whole lot of things are happening which we do not know. So be careful. Watch the news. You see the Catholic Church swallowing part of the Anglican Church, which would have never happened in the past 500, 600 years. Can you imagine? The split was between them two. And now, being swallowed.